If you wanted to divide the book of Ruth up into conceptual portions, well, the writers or the ones who labeled the chapters did a really good job. Chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the actual chapter divisions and the divisions of the story in the account of Ruth. And as we go through there, it's sort of like scene 1, scene 2, scene 3, and scene 4. So this morning, we actually got to close the curtain on scene 1 of the book of Ruth. And then this evening, we'll get to open the curtain on scene 2. I say all that because it's good to understand it as the writer presents the book of Ruth, although we must remember always there's a four-legged stool in the corner, but I always use a three-legged stool as an example of how we should read and study Scripture. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? A three-legged stool is something that we sit upon, and there are three legs to the stool of Scripture interpretation. One of those legs is history. The other leg is theology. And the third leg is literature. All three legs are always present in every Scripture that we read. History, literature, and theology. Now, sometimes one of those legs comes forward, and it's the emphasis of that text. But those two legs are always there. Theology is always there. Literature is always there. And history is always there. This is a reliable book that we have. But with that said, what I would like to do is read Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And then after that, I would want to ask the Lord to bless our time together. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word and the truth and the truths that it conveys to us about you, and about how we are to live in this world properly before you. Lord, I pray that we might exhibit the grace and the goodness and the kindness of you, our God, much like Boaz and Ruth do in this section of Scripture. Lord, may we love you. May our hearts grow in love for you and to you as we study your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to bring a little bit closer because I love this time together with us. It's like family time. I always say that. I probably always will. It's like family time here on Sunday evening. But with that, I want to encourage you, if you have a question or if you have a thought that you would want to express or anything about an observation here in the Book of Ruth, feel free to do that, please. This is what we call diolegomai. And you're like, well, what does diolegomai mean? It's a Greek word. It means to speak through. And it's actually one of the words that's often used of Paul as he's preaching in the New Testament. And it means to speak one and back and forth to one another. It's where we get our English word, dialogue, diolegomai. So let us dialogue together over the Book of Ruth. My first question comes up is, how does the end of chapter 1 prepare the reader for chapter 2? So let's go to Ruth 1:22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. I alluded to it this morning. They came to Bethlehem, which is the house of bread, right? And then at what time of year did they come to Bethlehem? Isn't that something? Naomi and Ruth step into Bethlehem with nothing, with absolutely nothing. But the author reminds us that as they step into Bethlehem, the barley is about to be harvested. And so as I was writing my sermon notes and my notes, have you ever seen the colon and the parenthesis that makes the smiley face? That's what I put in my own notes. I was like, the Lord is working right now in the Book of Ruth. And now we get to unfold chapter 2. So that's how the curtain closes on chapter 1. And then God opens his curtain on their life in chapter 2. And he says this: Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So we have a new person introduced, don't we? His name is Boaz. The name Boaz means quickness. Or also, if you remember correctly, this is a cool point that I think is awesome. Boaz and Ruth eventually marry, as we know. And Obed and Jesse and David. Now, who's David's son? Solomon. Now, what is one of the things that Solomon is famous for? He built a temple. There's two pillars of bronze at the entrance of the temple. Guess what the name of one of those pillars is? Boaz. Boaz is the name of one of those. You think he was remembering his great-great-great-great-grandfather? It's something, isn't it? Boaz. He is quickness, and he's a pillar. Now, look at how the author describes Boaz and how he introduces Boaz. I think it's very significant. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband. So this is the narrator, under biblical inspiration, speaking. He said, Naomi had a relative of her husband's. And then what did he say? A worthy man. And some translations might be great or mighty, but he's a worthy man. And that's very significant here because there's two things being weighed out. Number one, he's a relative of Naomi. How's he a relative of Naomi? Well, he's actually a relative of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. And what is that going to do? As we know, it's going to set us up for him to be a legitimate person to take care of Naomi and Ruth. He'll be a kinsman redeemer, as we'll find out. But not only is he, let's say, legally this person that can take care of them, he has this quality about him. What is this quality? He is worthy. So we are introduced to this new character, Boaz. And I think things and fortunes are going to change after this. What does Ruth ask of Naomi in 2:1? And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." So I ask again, what does Ruth ask Naomi in 2:1? She wants to go glean, right? Now, what does glean mean? Because it's not much. We don't glean very much anymore, do we? No. It's picking up the leftovers. That's exactly right. So when they harvested the field of barley in this case, they wouldn't get all of it because it would be impossible to get all those little barley seeds. And so she's asking if she could go out to the fields. And this is what somebody would do who didn't have anything. In fact, in the Old Testament law, it was commanded that when you harvested a field, that you leave the corners. So if you had a square field, you would leave the corners. You wouldn't go all the way up. Why is that? It was God's way of providing for those who didn't have anything. And so as Ruth is asking Naomi, is it okay if I go and try to glean and gain for us something so that we might eat as we live in the house of bread? So she wants to do this. She wants to work. And then what does she also say here after that? May I go glean amongst the ears of grain? And here's the key phrase, after him in whose sight I shall find favor. That word is hen, or hena in Hebrew, and it actually is often translated as grace in the New Testament. So, in him in whose sight I find favor or grace. Naomi, or Ruth, wants to go to a field, and she wants to find a field in which she will find grace and favor. Now, that word's going to be used multiple times in this chapter. And I think it's probably one of the greatest themes of the book of Ruth. Ruth is showing grace and kindness to those who have nothing. So that's what Ruth asks. Let me go and glean in a field after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And what does Naomi say? Go. Go, my daughter. Go for it. Ruth is more than coming back empty. She is sweet and she's a hard worker. And we see this in the text. Question 5. Where does Ruth end up gleaning and how does she get there? I love this verse. So Ruth wants to go. She wants to find favor. Verse 3, and she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. Don't you love the way the author writes that? So I ask, where does Ruth end up gleaning and how does she get there? Any thoughts on that? She happened, right? Yes, providence, is that what he said? Yes. So things don't just happen, do they? No, God is in control. I think one of the greatest examples in the scripture we have of that is here, and also the book of Esther. You say, well, why the book of Esther? Did you know that in the book of Esther, the name of God is mentioned 0 times? It's the only book in the whole of Scripture, entirety of Scripture, that the name of God is not ever mentioned. But yet God is obviously all the way through the book of Esther because it says this word over and over again, and it happened or it perchanced that this. And the author is showing you that God is in control even when we don't see him. And here Ruth desires to go glean in a field. She's desiring to do what is right and what's good. And in her heart, she goes, I pray that I find a field that somebody who owns this field will have favor and kindness towards me. And is her heart's desired answer? Absolutely. Because it says that she came to whose field? Boaz. And the author reminds us, now remember, he was of the clan of Elimelech. You think the author is trying to lead us along to think properly about what's going to happen here? Absolutely. Any thoughts up to this point? I love that verse, don't you? She just happened to come upon this field, who just happened to be Boaz's field, who just happens to be the relative of Elimelech. Yes, it just happened by the good hand of God. That's how it happened. All right. Where does Boaz come from, and what are his first words recorded in the book of Ruth? Verse 4, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" So here we have Boaz, and he comes from Bethlehem, which is so significant over and over again in this book, because we know that King David and King Jesus will come from Bethlehem, and yet Elimelech comes from Bethlehem, and Boaz will come from Bethlehem. He's coming from the house of bread, but I think what's really significant is what he says, the first words that come out of his mouth. What does he say? "The Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, be with you." Now, I want you to look, and I think this is a cool study, because I want you to think about the first words of the other characters in this book as well. So go back to 1:8. Naomi speaks, and we know that Naomi is in a bitter, bitter condition right now. But what is the first words that Naomi speaks in the book of Ruth? She speaks a blessing, doesn't she? She takes the words of the Lord upon her lips as a blessing. Verse 8, "But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you.'" Same words right there. "As you have dealt with the dead and with me." So Naomi, her first words are this blessing of the Lord. Here, Boaz's first words are blessing. What about Ruth? Well, we studied those this morning, but we can always read those again. Ruth 1:16. And this is the first words that Ruth say within. She says, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death departs me from you." So we have three main characters, people within the book of Ruth, and the first words that are on their lips are blessing and commitment. I think it's very significant, and maybe even a lesson to us. What should be the first thing that rolls off our lips, even in bad circumstances? And it should be the name of the Lord and blessing his name. As Charles Spurgeon says, "You should probably be so full of the word of God that if you were cut, you would bleed bibleen." You're like, "Well, what's bibleen?" I always say, "Well, that's Bible juice." We should bleed Bible juice. When we get squuzz like a sponge that's full of water, what should come out is the blessings of the Lord, because we are so immersed in his word and in his presence. These people exemplified that even in hard circumstances. But Boaz is introduced as this man who is a man of God. "The Lord bless you." That's what he says to the workers. And how do they reply? Verse 5. He says, "The Lord be with you," he says. And they says, "The Lord bless you." What does Boaz ask the young man over the reapers? So obviously he had like a foreman of the reapers. And what does he say? Verse 5. "Then Boaz said to his young man, 'Who is in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this?'" Isn't that an interesting way to phrase it? Whose young woman is this? Why do you think he says it like that?
Women were property back then.
They were often thought of in some sense as at least under significant authority all the time, right? And sometimes even in the worst cases as property, right? So she, in that culture, she would either be under her father's responsibility or her husband's responsibility. And so he's asking, who is this? Who's her father, or who's her husband? And the answer is,
She has neither right now, does she? But the answer is this. She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. How many times can he fit Moab in the sentence? He's wanting us to know that Ruth is from Moab. And that she is a widow and in some sense even an orphan here in this land. So we see that question and we see the answer. And how is Ruth characterized, question 8, by this young man? She's a Moabite for sure. And then he says, She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for this short rest. So this foreman of the reapers said that she came early in the morning. And when she came, she says, can I go after the reapers and basically can I gather the leftovers so that I can eat and I want to feed Naomi as well? And he said that she has been diligent all day long up until this time except for a quick rest to do that. Isn't her character so sweet? The character of Ruth is so sweet right here. Do we have any questions up to this point? Hope we're building a mental image of Ruth coming into a field and it's hot and she's working hard. And Boaz, the owner of the field, comes and he's this man. He seems like a large figure on the stage. And he says, Lord, Lord, bless these people and the Lord be with you. And so, but he takes notice. He's a man who's attention to detail. And he's like, who is that? I don't recognize her. And then the first words that are spoken about Ruth to him is, oh yes, she's the one that came with Naomi from Moab. And she came early, and she's worked all day with just a little bit of rest. And then that leads us to verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, and that leads us to question 9, what instructions does Boaz give to Ruth? He says this, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Immediately, he begins taking care of her, doesn't he? Immediately. What is his instructions? He calls her over. He says, come here. He says, do not glean in another field or leave this one. Basically, he goes, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. You stay right here in my field. And then he says this, stay close to my young women. He goes, where they go, you just keep your eyes on them. Where they go, you follow them, and you can gather all that you need among them. Then he says, keep your eyes on the field that they are reaping, so that if they change fields, you know that they will go into my field. And if you stay with them and keep your eyes on them, then you know you will always be within my possession. And then he says, I have charged the young men not to touch you. So apparently Boaz has made the decree, do not harm this young lady. And that would probably be a risky situation as a young widow in a field amongst farm laborers. And he's saying, don't touch, don't touch. And then, even more, when you're thirsty, come drink the water in which the young men have drawn. Now, I can't help but to immediately think about the words of Jesus. I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you will not hunger, nor will you thirst. Here, Boaz, before Jesus was born into the world, takes this helpless lady and basically says, I'm going to provide all the food that you need. You stay in my fields. And all the water that you could ever need, come and drink freely. I think he is such a picture, a pre-picture of the work and ministry of Jesus within our world. Boaz, he deserves a bronze column, doesn't he? A bronze pillar in the temple. Question 10, how important to the well-being of Ruth are the instructions of Boaz. So this is a question I'd love for you to answer and think about. How important are the words of Boaz and these instructions to Ruth? One of the ways that helps us think about how important it is to think about what situation that they were in when they left Moab. And what was that situation? Nothing, right? Nothing. Who knows if they would even survive or not? And now, as she steps into this man's field, what? Everything she needs is being provided. Such a contrast between the two. Food, water, and protection now given because of the kindness of Boaz, as we will see. So after Boaz says that, verse 10, then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" How does Boaz's treatment of Ruth reflect upon his character? Here we see Ruth's reaction and response. What does she do? She falls down on her face. She knows her life has just changed. Isn't that awesome? The power that people have to bring blessing upon others is very, very significant. So it resonates with my heart because may we be a people that always cares with kindness for those who are in need. And may we be a people that realizes our needs, and when we have that kindness bestowed upon us, bow down and worship in humility. How does Boaz's treatment of Ruth reflect upon his character? Verse 11. He is not. It's reflecting very, very well upon his character, isn't it? In the verse that we just read, it says, verse 10, then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor?" Now, have we seen that word before? That phrase. Where do we see that at? Chapter 2, verse 2. That was her request. "Lord, may I find favor in somebody's field." And now she bows down to the ground and she says, "Why have I found favor?" That's an interesting question, isn't it? Does God use people to provide answers to prayer? Absolutely, he does. He absolutely does. And we see that firsthand here. So that teaches us a very important lesson. Number one, pray. Number two, God does answer prayer. Number three, he often uses people. And if we're not the ones who are in need, we might be the one who's actually going to be the answer to God's prayer to somebody. So that may we be like the characters and the people here in the book of Ruth. Question 13, how does Boaz describe Ruth's actions? I love these verses. He says here in verse 11, I think it begins, "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" So what has Ruth done? She left her father and her mother. She left her native land. She committed herself to Naomi, and she came to a people that she did not know before to shelter under the wings of the God of Israel. We have the subscription when we lived in Montana to Montana Outdoors. And it's a wonderful magazine that was given to us. And on one of the issues is an issue of photographs from the outdoors of Montana. Beautiful, beautiful. And one of the pictures I'll never forget is of a mother turkey. And she is sitting there and it's raining. And she has her wings like this. And all these chicks are up under those wings, staying dry and warm next to that mother turkey. And as I read through this passage, and that phrase comes up often within the scripture, to shelter under the wings of the Lord, it just reminds me of that picture of those little helpless chicks up under their mother's wing, and we as people choosing to shelter under the wings of the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that an awesome picture? So she left her father and mother, her native land. She came to a people that she did not know to shelter under the wings of the God of Israel. Question number 14. Is Ruth keeping her commitment to Naomi? Yes, she is. She is. This morning we read about the words of commitment, right? Now we're seeing the life of commitment. Ruth gets up early to go and glean to take care of her and her mother-in-law. Commitment is beginning to be lived out in the book of Ruth. She is keeping it. So this is a sort of a rhetorical question, but obvious. But I want to ask it. Question 15, what is Boaz's perception of Ruth? Yes, he sees her faithfulness and he shows favor, grace, kindness to her because of that. That's the answer to the question, why have I found favor? Well, look what you did for your mother-in-law. And so here, the grace that you have shown, Ruth, to Naomi, now I'm going to show to you here in the fields of Bethlehem. Question 16, who does Boaz ask to bring blessings upon Ruth? Yeah, the Lord. And how is that one spelled again? All capitals, right? And so what does that mean? That means Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel. Here, Boaz asks the covenant God of Israel to put his favor upon Ruth, a Moabite. God loves us, doesn't he? He loves his country, his nation Israel, for sure. And yet his covenant love has no bounds nationally, ethnically, or people. God's love is spread to all people across the world. Now, this question goes back, and you've already answered it, Jenny. Who does the Lord use to bring blessings upon Ruth? Boaz. He uses people to bring blessings. And then I guess I got ahead of myself because there's question 18. What is the mental image of taking refuge under God's wing? Yeah, I already did that one, so I'm ahead. Question 19. Has Ruth found what she was seeking at the beginning of the chapter? Has she found what she was seeking? Absolutely, she has. How has this favor been manifested to Ruth? Yes, and that's verse 13. Then she said, I have found favor, there it is again, that phrase, in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. She is one who has found favor, one who has been comforted, one who is lower than a servant. I have a question for you, and these are the big picture questions. Can grace be found in the Old Testament? Yes. Absolutely. Sometimes we think about grace being the exclusive purview of the New Testament, but it's not. God has been and always will be a God of grace. And if there's any book that we can see that, it is in the book of Ruth. God is gracious. Now, who is showing grace in this book? God, ultimately, right? And then how is he showing grace in this book? Through Boaz and through Ruth. He uses people to show grace. And that's when I often say, may we be people of grace. What does that mean? That means your heart has been changed by the God of grace, and we reflect his character of grace to others. May we reflect God's character to others by the way we treat people. Could God use the example of Ruth and Boaz to foreshadow the great work of Christ? That is incredible to think about, but it's true. When I define the great work of Christ, I think about a self-sacrificial love for the benefit of somebody else. Jesus came within self-sacrificial love for the benefit of somebody else. And here, Ruth has committed herself to self-sacrificial love for the benefit of others. And Boaz has committed himself to self-sacrificial love for the benefit of others. How could the book of Ruth inform us about our role in helping those who are in need and seeking help from the people of God, Christians? That's an interesting question. How could the book of Ruth help us think about how we as a church are to display the love of God to those who are in need? Any thoughts about that? My prayer is, and I think it is true, and I hope it increases, that as somebody walks through those double doors there, that they, when they walk through, they immediately find a place in which the love of God is shown, and they know that if they need something, that these people most likely will take care of them. I pray that we can be a place like that. I want to be a place like that. Any other thoughts on how we might be able to help people who are in need? Sometimes we just have to open our eyes or ask God to open the eyes of our hearts to see the needs that are already right around us. And may the Lord do that for us. May the Lord do that for us. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot. Sometimes we just have to notice, pray, and if we're able to give or help, just to do it. Sometimes it takes 5, 10, 30 minutes. Boaz is going to end up committing a lifetime to it. But that's okay too. That's okay too. Good. Well, that brings us to the end of the 13 verses that I wanted to cover. Was there any questions or observations that you had? I would love for you to share them with us at this time. It is noticed, and the report had made it to Boaz's ear, hadn't it? It sure had. I guess Ruth was using her axe head and keeping it on that axe handle pretty well, right? Yeah, and it was noticed. It was noticed. And then the Lord, by his goodness and grace, is working through time, through history, through people to take care of her as she's taking care of Naomi. And God still does that. He still works through people and in time and in history as you're working to help somebody to take care of you as well. The Lord's good like that. He's gracious and kind and faithful. And may he always be exalted as such among us, his people. Any other observations or comments? Well, I think you're right. You know, one of the jobs that I have done in the past is work with the Employment Commission of various states. And so we see that. We see people who are in desperate need and who have had desperate circumstances, and they need help. And there's others who not so much. So we have to be wise and discerning with what we have. And I often say, Lord, give me wisdom on how to appropriate and use the gifts that you have given us and me so that we can use it wisely for those who really are in need and in a dire strait. I think that's a great observation. And I think it's a wonderful observation how you actually bring out the Old Testament context. Like, God has made the provision so that these people are taken care of. Don't glean out the corner of that field. I want to take care of these people who have nothing right now for whatever reason. Very important. Shows us God's heart, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Any other observations or comments? We can't see our own heart properly, can we? And we need the Word of God and godly people to come alongside of us and help us out when we're blinded to that. I think that's a great observation. And to go along with that, that word Mara is bitter, and yet here pleasantness is all around her. And it's about to fill her up. And Ruth is dedicated to seeking favor. And Boaz is dedicated to giving favor. And by the end of the book, Naomi will be filled with the grace and the kindness and the favor of the Lord. And so that is probably the key note of the book of Ruth, is that here Naomi is someone who is bitter. By the end of it, because of Ruth and Boaz and God's work through them, she is no longer bitter. For Ruth has been better than 7 sons to you, is what the people of the town say. Yeah. All right, with that said, let us close in prayer. And thank you so much for your comments and coming out tonight. It's been such a sweet, sweet time together. Lord, we are so thankful for this text of Scripture. And the sweetness and the kindness of this text of Scripture is
it saturates our soul. And may our souls be saturated by your goodness and your kindnesses, Lord, to us. For you are God, and you are gracious, and you are kind, and you are glorious, and you are good. And the most clear example that has been set for us is the person of Jesus Christ, who is grace and love incarnate for us. May we follow his example of self-sacrifice for the benefit of others, and the example of Boaz and Ruth so many years ago. It's in your precious name I ask these things, Lord. Amen.